Years ago in high school, there was a young man who was head over heels for a girl. He was convinced that she was the one, and he desperately wanted her to be his wife. Every night he would pour out his heart to God, praying fervently that she would fall in love with him and that they would spend the rest of their lives together. Yet, despite all his prayers, nothing seemed to happen. He wasn't getting anywhere with her. But he believed that if he just prayed harder and waited patiently, God would eventually answer his prayer. As the years passed, his prayers remained unanswered and he felt very discouraged. But time went on and eventually he met someone new. Her name was Trisha and they connected instantly. They dated, fell in love, and got married. One night after they were married, he happened to run into his old high school crush. As they caught up, he realized that he was truly grateful that it hadn't worked out with her. It dawned on him that it was a blessing that God hadn't answered his prayer the way he wanted. That experience changed his view of prayer forever. With that new perspective, Garth Brooks went on to write a famous song called Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. Many of us have experienced moments when we prayed, sometimes desperately, and yet it felt like God remained silent. Maybe you're going through that right now. Does this mean that God doesn't care or isn't listening? Not at all. Today, we're going to look at five keys that we need to have when we approach God with a request. Key number one is to understand there is a difference between our personal desire and God's will for our life. So what is God's will for our life? What is his desire for us? Knowing his will is crucial because it shapes the way we approach prayer. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 3:18 for the answer. And we all who, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is Spirit. This verse reminds us that God's primary goal for our lives is to transform us into the image of Christ. Sometimes we don't receive what we ask for because our prayers don't align with his greater plan for us. Jesus taught us to pray in a way that reflects God's will, not just our personal desires. We find evidence in this when he taught his disciples how to pray in Matthew 6:10 when he said this, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This reveals that when we pray, we should be seeking God's will, not our own. Even Jesus, before going to the cross, prayed for the cup of suffering to be passed from him because he knew what he was about to endure. But he ended his prayer with this, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." This teaches us that our prayers should always be surrendered to God's will, trusting that his plan is best, even when it doesn't match our desires or comes at a great cost. I think it's silly when parents pray for their kids to win a sporting event or a contest. Have we ever stopped to consider that the parents on the other team are praying for the same thing? Rather than focusing on whether our kids win or lose, we should remember that God's ultimate plan for their lives is not about temporary victories. His desire for us is to raise our children in a way that helps them to grow and to become more Christ-like. That's his greater purpose for them. So, what should our prayers sound like when we lift up our kids, whether in sports or any aspects of their life? Instead of praying for them to win, we should pray that they give their best and in doing so, reflect Christ to everyone who is watching. Pray that if they face defeat, they handle it with humility, congratulating the winners and accepting the outcome with grace. Pray that they will walk away knowing that sometimes winning isn't part of God's plan and that they will learn valuable lessons through the experience. We should ask God to help our children grow in character, learn from their setbacks, and deepen their relationship with him, no matter the result. In the end, how they respond to both success and failure will shape their hearts far more than any trophy would ever do. That's the kind of prayer that aligns with God's will for our kids. Which brings us to key number two, our hearts must be right with God. Now, this might be a hard pill to swallow, but the Bible clearly teaches us that God doesn't even listen to the prayers of those who are not truly following Jesus or are out of fellowship with him. We learn this from Psalm 66:18. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Or consider Isaiah 59:2. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. These verses are a sobering reminder that before we can expect God to answer our prayers, we must first examine our lives. Is my relationship with God a Hollywood Christianity type, or am I truly following Jesus, where he is the axis on which my life turns? So, if you're wondering what it means to be right with God, I've written a book called Time is Running Out, Am I Really in Good Standing with God?, where I dive deep into what it really means to be saved. After all, Jesus himself warned us that the road to heaven is very narrow and only a few find it. That is a serious, even a frightening thought. It's one that we can't afford to get wrong. It can have eternal consequences. Which brings us to key number three. Key number three is understanding that God answers in his way and in his timing. Sometimes God's answer to our prayer is not yet or even no. And when he says no, it doesn't mean he is not a good God. Take my daughter, for example. She recently asked me for a laptop for Christmas. Now, keep in mind, she's only 7 years old. Now, I may buy her some type of laptop, something similar, but do you think I would give her full access to the internet? Of course not. Why? Because I know what's out there. And as a parent, it is my responsibility to protect her. Now, if I get her a limited device instead of a full access laptop, she might think that I'm being mean or that I don't love her because I didn't get her one like mine. But we all know that's not true. I'm being protective. In the same way, when God doesn't give us what we ask for, he's often being protective. His role is to shape us into the people he wants us to be. And part of that involves giving us what we need, not necessarily what we want. God sees things through an internal perspective, while we often see only what's right in front of us. What may seem like the best option for us in the moment might not actually be what's best for us in the long run. Just like a loving parent, God's wisdom guides his decisions for our long-term good, even when it's not what we expect or hope for. Take the example of Garth Brooks, who once prayed desperately to marry his high school sweetheart, thinking it was the best plan for his life. But God had other plans. Years later, Garth realized that what he once wanted wasn't in the best interest at all. In fact, he was grateful that God didn't answer his prayer the way he had hoped. Just like Garth Brooks, we sometimes need to recognize that unanswered prayers can be a hidden blessing, even though we may not see it at the time. God knows what's truly best for us, and his timing and plans are always perfect. Pastor Timothy Keller put it this way, God will either give us what we ask for in prayer or give us what we would have asked for if we knew everything he knows. That's why Isaiah 55, 8-9 says this, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my way, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And Paul said this in Romans 8:28, And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Which brings us to key number four. Understand in John 14, 13-14, where it says this, And I will do everything you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Now, does this mean that we can ask for anything and expect to receive it? Not exactly. Jesus wasn't giving us a blank check to ask for anything that we want. The key words in these verses is, so that my Father may be glorified, meaning, are we asking for things that would bring glory to God or glory to ourselves? Because there's a major difference. John 15:7 says this, If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now, notice the condition here, if you remain in me. When we are truly abiding in Christ, our desires will align with God's desires. Our prayers will naturally reflect the heart of God and his kingdom purpose. This is the key to understanding what Jesus meant when he said, ask for anything in my name. Oh, and you better be careful what you ask for. Years ago, when I was in my mid-30s, life was going great for me. I was making six figures, living in a beautiful house, driving a Mercedes. I had been fully committed to follow Jesus for about 3 years at the time, and I was attending a Bible study class called BSF. Now, we were going through the life of Paul at the time, and I was deeply moved by his unshakable faith despite everything he endured. Inspired, I got on my knees and prayed, asking God to make me more like Price, to test me, because I felt I was ready for a test. Within 6 months, everything changed. I lost my job, my home, and my car. I ended up moving into my sister's house, who just lived down the street from me. It was a humbling and embarrassing experience. I remember praying and asking God why, but then I recalled the prayer that I made 6 months earlier. I also felt like God whispered in my heart, even though you are moving into your sister's house, you're still living like a king compared to most people in the world. That night, as I finished praying, I stood up with a new perspective. I decided to give God all the glory through this trial and use it as a testimony to witness to others. And that is exactly what I did. But I can tell you this, I have never prayed that prayer again. So why did God answer that particular prayer, the one where I lost everything? Because it brought him glory and it shaped me into the person he was trying to make me. A.W. Tozer said this, God never refuses the prayer of a saint who lives to please him, but he does not answer every prayer made in selfishness or sin. Which brings us to key number five. Key number five is the perseverance in prayer. Sometimes we stop praying too soon. God invites us to persevere in prayer, even when the answer doesn't come right away. In Luke 18:1, it says this, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Jesus tells this parable of a persistent widow who kept coming to the unjust judge until he granted her request. Jesus uses this story to teach us about persistence in prayer. Sometimes God wants to see how much we trust him, even when answers seem delayed. Remember, prayer isn't about getting what we want. It's about partnering with a God to see his kingdom come and his will be done in our lives and in this world. I'll leave you with this. I once heard about a man who had been attending baseball games for 28 years, always bringing his mitt with the hopes of catching a foul ball. Year after year, game after game, he waited for this moment. Then one day, he struck up a conversation with a young boy who was sitting next to him. The boy had a speech impediment. The boy shared that he too was hoping to catch a foul ball that day. As fate would have it, a foul ball was hit towards his section. After 28 years of waiting, the man finally caught his first foul ball. But instead of keeping the ball he had waited so long for, he turned to the boy and handed it to him. While I don't remember the man's name, I'll never forget what he said in the article. He said this, sometimes God holds back from giving us things until we're ready and willing to give them away. Now that is something to think about when we pray. Well, I hope you enjoyed this message. Until next time, God bless, and I hope to see you all in our Father's home.